Lord always takes care of us. You all do know that. Very interesting. Fear, well, it is not just an emotion. Fear is a physical, oh, let's see, a physical exercise in pulling everything bad going on in your life into one body together, and it's all at the same time. That's what I see as the fear that really affects every one of us. See, I think there's less than 1% that ever will serve in the armed forces of the United States of America. Less than 1% of the population. Probably, and it's about half of that ever see combat. So that type of fear is one thing. You're going to be afraid there, or you're just out of your mind. But it's going to happen. But I'm talking about the everyday, every life type of fear. It's a fear that we will find within our existence that grows with us. Growing up as a child, I never did like care anything about Halloween. I was never one that really enjoyed getting scared. No. Now to do the soap stuff on the windows, I could cackle, you know, and think, yeah, that's fine. But not to do bad stuff, just to aggravate somebody. Now, I love that. But I never liked being afraid. You know, walk around there and somebody going to say boo. I don't want somebody saying boo to me. I don't want that kind of fear. But then I found out as I grew, that's not the fear that's devastating. The greatest devastation that you and I deal with are the basic common fears I'm going to go over today in this message. And every human being will have to deal with this type of fear. Now, those who say, I'm not afraid of anything, normally afraid of just about everything. They just don't do anything to be afraid of anything. I got confused in that. I hope you all did too. But that kind of fear. I found out something in growing up. Jesus loves me all the time. Jesus is always going to be close to me. And the more trauma that I will have in my life, the closer he's going to walk. You see, I know now that the foolish fear of the basics of life, it's simply that, foolishness. I remember my mother talking about her great fear was her sheet. She had one sheet when they got married, and she was afraid. She said, what if, you know, that's the majority of fears. What if? What if that hammer falls off of that shelf over there and hits my dear loved one in the head and it kills him? Oh, me, don't lay the hammer anywhere. Get it out of the house. A fear. She had a fear that if a hole would wear in the sheet and her and my dad's toe might get stuck in it and they tear the sheet, they only have one. And I said, Mom, that's the dumbest thing I believe I've ever heard in my life. But I didn't grow up in that era. I didn't grow up during the Great Depression. I didn't grow up in that kind of want or need. But she did, which seems like, as the human nature goes, we have to find fault or fear in something. Seems like we just need it, I guess. Yeah, if everything's going great, what are we going to do? Yeah, but everything's going great today. Beautiful weather, beautiful day, but it's going to rain. I hope it does pretty quick here. It's going to rain. Something bad's going to happen. Can't you enjoy the moment? Enjoy the moment? I look back at moments of enjoyment, don't you? I look back at my salvation experience. I still see myself as that snotty-nosed kid walking down an aisle by myself in a big old church, Buffalo Baptist Church. It was big to an 8-year-old walking down that aisle. You know, I remember that. And I remember that I said yes to Jesus. Nobody can take that away from me. I was saved that day, Brother Randy. So therefore, I remember that. Every time that you find life knocking at you to bring you down with fear, think back. Think back to that time you crawled up in the bed with your dad. Said, I want to be a Christian too. Think back to that time that you accepted Jesus. Oh, that's a time you can hold on to. And then when everything else starts breaking it down in your life and the fears come, think back to how many times in the past that God has led you through it, and he'll do it again. Well, that sounds like a good song. And he'll do it again. He'll save you from yourself, and he'll do it again. He'll touch your life during those fearful times. He did touch your life, and he will do it again. How do I know I can be set free from fear? Let's stand and read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's blessings be upon the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Set free from fear. Psalm, now listen to King David. David was living in and out of caves, the king to be. He was fearful every time he turned around. Well, he had something to be afraid of. Had a state trooper tell me one time, Larry, you remember this. There's nothing wrong with being paranoid if you have something to be paranoid about. Those people want to kill me out there. God says, I will always be with you. I love you. I've created you for a purpose, so I don't want you to fear what man or what the world can do, because your God has created you for a purpose, and God always follows through on his purpose. And you're purposefully here because God said, I will it. So therefore, King David running and hiding, but he always cried out to God. But see, the Lord didn't just right off the bat, okay, David, come on out. I'll make you king today. You're not ready, David. Maybe you need to stay in the cave a little longer. But David, I'm with you. You know what King David, the man after God's own heart, knew? God would see him through. He had to deal, though, personally, with the human condition. And the human condition that is focused in every human being is fear. There's a fear there. I trust the Lord. Well, okay, Larry, as you trust the Lord, step out there in that road, and the Lord will keep that car from killing you. Yeah, well, I trust the same Lord that told me to trust him. I trust him when he says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. I'll be squished like roadkill, tempting God. Trust God. Don't tempt God. Take him at his word. King David, Psalm 34, verse 6, I cried out to the Lord in my suffering. You ask yourself, Lord, why am I going through this suffering? Well, let me ask you this. During the good times, do you cry out to the Lord as much as you do during the suffering times? During the good times, he said, praise the Lord. Now, how often, though, do you cry out to the Lord when you're hurting, when you're breaking, when you feel the pain of life closing in on you? David said, I cried out to the Lord in my suffering, and he heard me. He set me free from all my fears. He did not set David free from circumstances of life, from living a life in the human condition. You have to live this life. This life is given to us to glorify God. Now, we can be at peace later as long as you have peace now in your spirit. I have a spiritual connection to my Father. Therefore, I will get peace that surpasses all understanding. Why do those Christians have a smile on their face when a real close loved one passes on? Because a real close loved one passed on, passed over. They weren't eliminated. I will see them again. And I will know at that time, never again will we be separated. Only a short period. But we got to get through this situation called life. I don't know why. I don't know why everything happens to us that happens to us. But I know who. I know who set it up. And I'm thankful that God says, as you go, don't ever forget, I'm with you. As you walk into that mess, I'm in charge of that mess. Whether the mess knows it or not, God's in charge of the mess. So God looks at us and he says, I don't want you to be afraid. David found out that God delivered him, set him free from all his fears. Huh. He was still dealing with life. Didn't mean he wasn't afraid. It meant that he kept going. Whatever that journey was for that day, he kept walking. Do you know when you get in trouble? When you sit down. When you give it up. Oh, I can't do this anymore. Oh, grow up. Because you see, the more you walk with the Lord and the difficulties of life as he leads you through it, the closer that you will feel to him and the more blessings you will see in your life. Folks, you are blessed. You hear me? We just don't recognize it. Oh, why couldn't this have happened? Well, how about looking at what did happen? Look at what you can see and what you can figure out in your life. Being afraid continually. Because there are some folks that are afraid of everything. And I mean fear just surrounds them in every situation. I don't want to go out of the house today. Why not? Well, it's going to rain, and what if lightning strikes me? The fear of everything. I understood this past week the worst Halloween candy is corn candy. The jars that I have around my desk, I can talk to those jars and say, you're the worst thing that ever happened to this world. Therefore, to save Randy and the rest of them, I'll eat every bite. My sacrifice. Think of that. We're afraid of everything. Use common sense, if it's any such thing as that anymore. But afraid of everything, listen to this, Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Why am I afraid of everything when I believe that God is for me? And if God is for me, who can stand against me? We're called by God individually to serve him on the journey which he has prepared for us before time began. That's a long old journey. But he says, don't be afraid. I prepared the way. And if God prepared it through all the pain that you may go through in life, I'll guarantee you You're coming out of this life. Good gracious, folks, every one of us are getting a glorified body. That means perfect. That means perfect. I see people today that are so afraid, you know, if I eat that, I'm not going to be as pretty as I used to be. And the fact is, probably not that pretty to begin with, if you think that. Enjoy the life that God has given you and use some sense in it. Enjoy life. Don't be afraid of it. If I have an enemy out there, and which I'm sure I have several, why should I fear them? If they're in the path that God hewed out for me in this life, they must be there for a purpose, for me to show them God's love. And the way I do that, you keep going. One foot right in front of the other. Though you're crying, though you're shaking, though you're hurting so bad from within because of what has happened, you keep going. And I promise you, each step you take, the Lord will lighten the load. It's taking His yoke upon you. How do I do that? Trust Him. Trust Him. See, now catch this. I do not have to ask my Savior to lighten my load. He already promised me that He would carry it for me. He's already there. He's already doing it. I just need to get my thinking in order. There's nothing too heavy for you to deal with. Nothing. Because God loves you. If God is for you, who can be against you? The older you get, the more people I see that are afraid of not having enough. I'm not going to have enough. You know, I have to look and I have to see. You know, I don't think I'm going to have enough to make it. And I always want to say, enough for what? Enough for everything you want? Or are you talking about enough for everything you need? God says, I'll always take care of all your needs. Maybe some of the things we want are not godly, and they're going to harm us. Therefore, God will see to it you don't have enough to get it. That's a blessing, not a curse. Don't be afraid of not having enough. Listen. Romans 8:32. God did not keep back His own Son. That's a pretty good gift, I'd say, this to me for my life. But He gave Him for us. If God did this, won't He freely give us everything else? There's your little common sense. If God gave Jesus and His Son took the guilt of my sin, your sin, on that cross, and because of that sacrifice, you and I are given eternal life with an eternal inheritance equal to the Son of God. Woo! What an inheritance. The greatest inheritance I've already received from my Savior is a peace in my spirit. I'm not worried about my spiritual condition. I gave it to Jesus. It's in His keeping. As a matter of fact, it was in His giving that I got it. It was in my acceptance that He blessed my life, but He also gave me the common sense to believe and to accept it. I did nothing for everybody. I'm sorry, I know this aggravates some folks, but you got to listen to me, and I'm getting biblical with you here. A little spiritual, all right? I hear people all the time saying, you got to work hard for every dime you get. And if you ever expect to be something, it'll be because of how hard you worked and pulled your boots up yourself. And here this old preacher is telling you, whoa, I have an eternal inheritance I had nothing to do with. My Savior had watched after me, and I don't deserve anything, and I got it all. And I got the peace, and I got the joy that goes with it. It's not in how hard I work. It's in how much my Savior loved, and He really loves me. And He really loves you. It's not in the working, it's in the giving. I'd much rather give than to receive. It took me a whole lifetime to figure that one out. I'd much rather see the sparkle in the eyes of a kid, of a young person, of the joy of you giving them something they didn't expect. But do you know what I expect from my fellow Christians? I expect you to love me just like I am. And I expect to love you just as you are, even if you honor me. I expect because I love. But I didn't get that love naturally. I didn't work for the love. I've worked my whole life. I can't remember when I didn't work. In the Marine Corps at 17, I've always worked. I didn't get it from the work. I got it from the gift of a Savior who gave me the ability to get out there, accept my responsibility, and go out and do. But the Lord gave. And He's never quit giving. He gave. And He gave. Oh, and do you know what else He said? I give, and only I can take it away. And when you say yes to my son, I ain't taking it away. So therefore, if the Lord doesn't take it away, the world cannot take it away, because we fear so much about the life. I fear not being spiritual enough. Well, jump on the bandwagon with the pastor. People said, how should a Christian act? I don't have any idea how you're supposed to act. Talk to the Lord. Well, the Bible says this about you Christian. Do you remember something that Jesus had to deal with through His whole ministry walking? Do you really think they was said anything He did was Christ-like? You know, today you get that thought. Now, is that a Christian attitude to have? Oh, sometimes you just want to share the Lord with them. Do you think that's acting like a Christian? I don't know. Tell me, how does a Christian act? Does not a Christian act human because they are human? And is not each individual human being? Do we not have our own actions? Do we not have our own free will and our own individual personality? So how can I tell you how you're going to act with your personality? I got enough trouble with my own getting in trouble. But it's not about that either. It's about what Christ has done in us to keep us from being, I'm afraid I'm not spiritual enough. Okay, well let's listen to what spirituality is. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, He will forgive our sins, because we can trust God to do what is right. I don't remember me reading where I can trust me to do what's right. See, I don't know what's right for you. God does. You don't know what's right for me. God does. He will cleanse us from all the wrongs we have done. Now, how much more spiritual can you get than what I just read? Did you notice that God did every bit of it for us? That's called love. A parent expresses their love by wanting to give to their children. But you give them love. You show them how to love. You get excited for them. And you're always there to support them. I don't care what kind of bad case of the stupids that kid has had. You need to always be there and support them. Well, Brother Larry, is that spiritual? Yeah, it is. Read it in the book called the Bible. Would you not say, Christian, that throughout your life you have been a renegade ever so often, a rebel, rebellious? Have you ever been rebellious? Have any of you all ever lied? Think of that. That's called life. That's reality living, isn't it? And the Lord said, you are spiritual enough when you say yes to my son. Now, I got that down. I said yes to Jesus. Therefore, I'm not going out here in fear that I can lose the salvation that I didn't earn. It was a free gift given to me by my Lord. How can I lose what I didn't earn? It was given to me by grace, not through merit. From my standpoint, by grace, how can I lose what I didn't deserve? And he gave it to me anyway. And he loved me anyway. So I'm going to be afraid of it. Here's your big one. Fear of being left alone. I see loneliness as the greatest fear in the heart. You know, after being out with my mom in the rehab in that nursing home area there, and I saw how few people, families, said, I was told by workers that some people will come and just drop off their loved one and leave. And they won't see them again during the time. And they had fear. You would listen to it and you would see the fear of being left alone. Well, let me read something. Hebrews 3, verses 5 and 6. God has said, never will I leave you. How can I be alone? How can I, if I'm even trapped on the inside here, can't get out? And the last several days of my mother's life, she could not speak. She could not relate. Well, a few of those days, she could give me the look. But she could not speak. But she could speak to Jesus. She didn't have to know how to talk to me. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? And you're sitting there thinking, well, they can do a whole lot. No, they can't. They cannot go across the line that God has drawn. You're his child. They thought they could do anything to Jesus that they wanted to. Herod said, go break their legs. They couldn't do that. But do you know why? I don't care what the emotion was of the Roman that day. They couldn't because God had already decreed not one bone in his body will be broken. So they couldn't do it. We didn't do it because he was dying anyway or already dead. No, you couldn't do it because God said so. That's your life. So you're afraid about tomorrow? How much did you have to do with the circumstances in your life today? Tomorrow's not here. Maybe you won't be tomorrow either, so what are you worried about it? You deal with life today, one step at a time. And the Lord says, you don't need to fear. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. All of these fears that you have, you bring on yourself. Fear of having enough at the end. Would you have anything at the beginning? Well, you was even born naked. You're going to leave it that way too. You see, you don't have any control. I know the one who does. And he said, I get to go with him. It don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, giving you thanks, Father, for the love that you've extended to us through your Son. And Father, for sending your Holy Spirit to indwell each of us, we praise your name, Father. We ask now that you will give unto us the strength to put one foot in front of the other. Give us direction of the day, Father. Give us the courage and help us through your love to share that love with the lost and dying world. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. During a time of invitation, be set free from the fears. Can you control the fear? Can you control any of that stuff? Well, you think I got control? No, you don't. You don't even have control over your next breath. I've watched it. Don't even have control over your next breath. I know the one who does. And when you know Jesus, you're going to keep breathing through that spiritual you throughout eternity. And you don't need oxygen because you got the blood of Jesus in you.